Moving on to case 8132. It's on a motion of the commission to consider the application of Eagle Operating Inc. for an order approving certain amendments to the unit operating agreement for the Mohall Madison unit, Renville and Botno counties, North Dakota, so as to authorize the recovery of a risk penalty as provided by North Dakota Century Code section 3808.09.4, and for such further and additional relief as the commission deems appropriate. Anyone here wishing to make an appearance in case 8132?
Mr. Examiner, Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 400, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing in case 8132. We intend to call one witness in this matter. Just a brief introduction. The request that's being made in case 8132 is a result of recent legislation that was passed by the North Dakota Legislative Assembly. That is House Bill 1218, which became effective on August 1 of 2003. Subsection 2 of that legislation basically provided that a provision could be included in unit operating agreements authorizing those owners who paid for the share of non-participating owners' expenses in a unit that they could collect a risk penalty. The risk penalty is set forth by statute. It is a cost plus 50% for unleased owners. It is cost plus 200% for leased owners. With that in mind, as indicated, we're going to have one witness, Greg Steiner.
Would you raise your right hand? You swear to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes.
Go ahead and proceed, Lawrence.
State your name for the record, please.
Greg Steiner.
And spell your last name.
S-T-E-I-N-E-R.
And Greg, by whom are you employed in what capacity?
Eagle Operating Incorporated, Kenner, North Dakota, production supervisor.
And you've testified before the commission on previous occasions, have you not?
Yes.
And preparation for today's hearing, you've made a thorough study and review of all the relevant matters concerning this application that Eagle has made for approval of an amendment to the unit operating agreement for the Mohall Madison unit?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And you brought with you certain exhibits you intend to sponsor?
Yes.
Have you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of those exhibits?
Yes.
Greg, let's turn to the packet of exhibits. Let's turn to Exhibit 1. And what I'd like you to do is just identify Exhibit 1 and tell us what's contained about on it and why it's important to what we're talking about today.
Okay, Exhibit 1 is a timeline of introducing or proposing the unit, getting the unit ratified. And then because of a change in laws, we came back and asked for a risk penalty and had that ratified and then came before the commission to make that part of our unit operating agreement.
Let's just talk about a couple specific items on here. You have a date of August 1, 2003. That's when the legislation became effective, is that right?
Correct.
And then on September 9th of 2003, Eagle provided notice to all working interest owners indicating that a working interest owner meeting was going to be held, and one of the items on that agenda was going to be the discussion of amending the unit operating agreement, is that correct?
Yes, it was.
And then finally, well not finally, but let's jump ahead, the working interest owner meeting actually took place then on September 26th of 2003.
Yes, it did.
Okay. Let's go to Exhibit 2. Why don't you tell me what that is?
This is just a notice we sent out to all the working interest owners that we were going to have a meeting.
And then attached to that notice is...
It's a description of things that would be of what went on in the meeting and what was considered.
And the item that's before the commission today is the one that appeared at 9:30 a.m., which was consideration of the amendment to the unit operating agreement. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. And then let's go to Exhibit 3. Why don't you tell me what that is and touch on the more relevant parts of that particular exhibit.
Okay, well, this is a description of the meeting, the working interest owners meeting that was held in Kenmare. As far as relevance to this hearing, we discussed the amending the unit operating agreement to provide for a risk penalty that became effective August 1st, 2003.
Okay, and let's go to the bottom of page 1 of Exhibit 3 and the top of page 2. There's a brief description of what took place in the vote. The last sentence is probably most relevant. The motion is approved by everyone who was at attendance, is that right?
Yes, every representative of the working interest owners in attendance approved the motion.
And that's 92% in phase 1 and 91% in phase 2, is that right?
Correct.
And as far as the other things that happened, it says redacted. Those were things that took place at the working interest owners meeting that really had no relevance to the amendment to the unit operating agreement. Is that
no,
right?
They did not.
Okay. And then let's go to Exhibit 4. Greg, can you tell me what Exhibit 4 is?
This would be a part of our section out of our unit operating agreement, and it basically talks about the new law that was approved by the legislature effective in 2003 about recovering risk penalty from non-participating working interest owners.
And the redlined language that's on Exhibit 4, that's the language that was added to the unit operating agreement to allow the owners paying the cost to collect from non-participating owners the penalty provided for by the statute. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. One final exhibit, and I didn't make a lot of copies of these, but Greg, can you tell me what that is?
That's a complete copy of the unit operating agreement with the changes added to it.
And that has been, here's the copy I believe I have here. That's been executed by the unit operator as well as several working interest owners, is that right?
That's correct.
I don't need two of these, Mr. Cousins.
I'll go in the case file.
That's all the questions I have for Mr. Steiner. We would offer our exhibits 1 through 5 in case 8132.
Motion granted. Questions from staff?
Greg, you indicated on Exhibit 3 at the second page that you had over 90% sign up for the amendment on both Phase 1 and Phase 2. In the unit operating agreement, what is the required amount to amend it?
I would have to go to that section and read it. Is it 50 or 60?
I think it's 60, yeah. I think it's 40.
Okay, in the agreement, it would be in section 4.32, it's 60%.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Greg, I had a question. Are there any unleased minerals included within Mohall Madison unit? Are you aware of any?
There are some unleased minerals. The same people have some minerals that are leased, and in some tracts they were never leased.
And are you aware, has Eagle made an attempt to lease those minerals?
Not recently. We've been in contact with the mineral owners with no response. So
you've attempted to contact them and they did not respond?
No, they did not.
All right. You're aware that the statute for providing a penalty on unleased mineral owners requires a good faith attempt to lease them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Florence, at this time, are you just trying to amend the unit operating agreement and then later, if there's some parties that do not participate, that you will then come in again, or do you think that this is the only time that you would have to make that, show that data?
No, I don't anticipate us having to come back to the commission again to impose the penalty. Now, I'm not suggesting that if we impose the penalty and someone were to have a problem with the way we're imposing it, that they might not make an application to the commission. But I believe that our amendment to the unit operating agreement gives the unit operator and other working interest owners who pay those costs and expenses for non-participating owners to assess the penalty. But I would believe that the commission may have continuing jurisdiction to resolve any disputes. Along those lines, I'm not attempting to correct the director or the examiner, but the question about making a good faith attempt to lease unleased owners, there is a conjunction there as well. It says, an unsuccessful good faith attempt to have the unleased non-participating owner execute a lease or to have the leased, okay, I'm sorry, you're correct. It was leased. I thought it was unleased.
Okay.
Apologize.
Those conjunctions are tricky.
Yeah, they are. Should have read before I opened my mouth.
So if the unleased mineral interest owner decided or thought that they should not be assessed the penalty because it was not a good faith effort, they could come before us at a hearing and argue their case.
Yes, I believe so. And I think the last sentence of subparagraph C of the amendment to section 3 basically allows for that.
Okay.
And I would point out that we will probably treat unleased owners just like we would leased owners. And if there's going to be any significant work, I don't recall in the unit operating agreement what significant amount work is, if it's $50,000 or $25,000. But AFEs will be sent out to those unleased owners just like they were working interest owners with respect to their 7/8 cost-bearing interest. And at that point in time, they would have an opportunity to elect to participate if they would like.
When will be the effective date of the change? Will it be retroactive to August 1st? Is that what you're asking for?
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, Bruce, because it was something that I wanted to address. The working interest owners, when they approved the amendment, wanted it approved effective October 1 of 03. So I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. It was something I meant to address but forgot.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have a question on the unleased minerals. Since the law took effect August 1st, does the attempt to lease them have to take place after that, or can it take place prior to that?
I think it probably could take place prior to that. I think that's something that we're going to have to work through as we proceed to implement the statute. But I guess it would be my position that there's nothing in the statute that says it has to take place afterwards. So I think if there were some good faith attempts to lease at one time, you don't have to make that attempt again.
Thank you.
And I just add that my clients and the various working interest owners and operators that I've talked to, they would prefer to lease rather than getting the penalty, although the penalty is a start towards the road down the road of getting operators to get out and develop some of these properties where we have unleased interest. A lease is certainly a better approach for them than it is to have it unleased and get the penalty, because a 50% penalty was not a significant penalty.
Any further questions? Anything further, Lawrence?
Nothing further in case 8132.
Thank you. That concludes the hearing in case 8132.